I think the next point that I'd like to talk about in relation to what we've just gone over, that the church's free use of telex lines of confessional folders and breaking an entry in order to gain an advantage in the community. In 1971, when I was running operations for the church, I was involved with a man whose name I don't care to give now, unless it's all right with you. Okay. His name was Bill Foster, one of the people that he worked with on the operation is here today, so he could be called up to corroborate what I'm going to say to you. But I received a call from Bill Foster while in New York. I had been sent from the Apollo, which was operating in the Antilles at the time, to New York with my wife to operate the Eastern Seaboard for the church on a management mission. Mr. Foster had allegedly been expelled a couple of years earlier for misconduct or something in Boston. I received a call from Bill Foster, and he came in New York. We had been very close friends. He came in with an incredible story. He said that he had in actual fact been operating with the Guardian's office out of Boston and Washington, and involved in a breaking and entering team. His cover had been blown because one of the operatives had been compromised. At the time, I didn't know who that was. And the church was going to leave him high and dry. In other words, they were not going to acknowledge the fact that he had been working for them. They were holding the story that he had been expelled and was doing everything on his own. He came to me because at that time, I was the senior executive authority on the Eastern Seaboard for the church and in direct contact with flag management. My mission was being run by telex on a daily basis. He asked me if I could assist him. I called the person who was then in charge of the Guardian's office in Boston, Mr. Bob Raymer, who had also been a friend of mine. I had worked with him on a mission some years earlier in Boston, and I said, look at Foster's ear, this is what he told me, is it true? Has he been working for you in the field? And he said, yeah, he has. And I said, well, on the basis of the misuse of policy in handling the man, I thought that I could help him out with flag management. I started to get a lot of heat down on telex lines about him and what he had done and so on and so forth. So I got him out of the country. I sent him to a mission in Canada. Up to a few months ago, he was still residing, not being willing to come back to the United States, I suppose until the statute of limitations run out of his activities.
Some more detailed evidence pertaining to that particular subject will also be introduced at a later time. The legal significance of that testimony may relate to the disowning of the policies of the corporation to disown information or responsibility for the actions of its operatives, such as Mary Sue Hubbard, the other top 10 people who have just been convicted. And the significance to this city is the fact that the corporation is now disowning responsibility of those people for any of the things that took place here in Clearwater and around the world. And that disowning of responsibility process began last summer and is taking place right up to the present time. The inferences that could be drawn from this testimony of this witness regarding that policy to disown are becoming apparent on their face.
To elaborate on that even further, I'm not here to complain about what the church has done to me. Understand that I'm here to really impress upon you what you're actually dealing with, the magnitude of what you're dealing with. In 1971, we had, and of course this ties into the treatment of children too, actually, because in 1971 we had a base in Mexico outside of Rosarito Beach. It was a 1,200 hectare base, and it had been put there as a training camp for COA members, missionaries, and a place to put what was called the cadet org, the children's school. Children were routinely transported from Los Angeles to the Mexican base and birthed and housed there under the care of various base personnel so that their mothers and fathers could get up on with their business within the church. A lot of them had staff positions, senior executive positions in the church in Los Angeles. We were having a great deal of problems at that time with the city officials. I don't know what the laws are here in Florida, but in Los Angeles, 1.1 person in a one-bedroom apartment, excluding kitchens and bathrooms, is considered overcrowded, anything over than that. And of course, the church doesn't normally have bathrooms and kitchens in its little room, so quite frequently, in fact, almost all the time, rooms are incredibly overcrowded. So it was a place to get the kids out of the country and out of the way of production. Mexico, of course, is, at that time, and 10 years ago, was still pretty wild. In fact, there were bandit groups roaming the hills, and they used to come down to the base. The base fell under my sphere of responsibility as an operating project. I was in charge of operations. The bandits were coming in at night, and they were stealing grain, and they were stealing saddles, and whatever wasn't tied down, and whatever they could get away with, and causing a lot of commotion. And I was asked to go down with another ex-member of the church, whose name I don't care to give you, because he's still around. We were asked to go down there and eliminate bandits. Both that person and myself have had extensive intelligence and counterintelligence activities in the armed forces. The person at that time had free access, in fact, was dealing in arms at the time, and was routinely used by the church on various guardian operations. We were asked to go down and did go, we actually went into briefing to go down and set up a little infrared sniper scope in the middle of the night and make sure the bandits didn't bother us anymore. Fortunately for me, the one of the ladies who was managing the children's org at the time shot one of the bandits, I believe it was the leader, through the front door when they were trying to break in, and they dispersed, and the mission was subsequently called off. I just want to get across to you that, that at that point in time with the church, that sort of thing, they were impeding Scientology. They were nothing but bandits, and they had to be gotten out of the way. And that was the way it was. I don't know what else to tell you about it. You can ask me questions about it if you like. All I can say was at the time I was willing to go. I don't necessarily feel good about that now, but at the time I didn't make any progress. I think, since I've already mentioned children, I have and conditions in an area, I think I can say without any reservations that the food, the supervision of children, the education of children in every organization that I have ever been in the church, it's been terrible. I got into an incredible firefight with a person named Fran Broker, who was in charge at that time of financing the various operations in Los Angeles.
What do you mean by firefight?
Well, I was trying to get money for the base, and she had the power of pen. All right, and I had to convince, I had to make a plea for monies to adequately feed and house the children. And the problem that I had is kind of a funny story in a way, but at the time for me it was really serious. The caretaker used to come up from Mexico on a weekly basis to get money to bring back down, because they did their purchasing in Mexico because of the price difference. The area was incredibly infested with scorpions, snakes, tarantulas, spiders. The area around the base house had a lot of shrubbery up against the house, and well, the place had never really been put, you know, made habitable. The man brought me up a jar full of scorpion tarantulas and laid them, and he says, "Look at it, we've got to have money clear this brush out. So one of these kids gets it, you know, you and I are the ones that are going to be in trouble because we're responsible for the day. The rest of the church is going to take the rap if a kid gets killed down there. So I took the jar and I brought it into the woman. I plopped it down on her desk and I said, here they are, what I've told you is true, and I'm laying it on you. I'm not going to be responsible anymore for the care of those children if you are going to deny me the funds to get the tools necessary to clean around the house and take all of the brush stuff away and make it safe for them. And I eventually got the money, by the way, but I was no longer in the financial favor in the church. It was a little hard to get money out of them. That persisted wherever I went. Staff members were always ill-fed, ill-clothed. I had a personal situation where I had an abscess in my tooth, and I was being audited for it. I wanted to go to the dentist, and I was being audited for it. And they spent about a week and a half looking at various auditing assists, what are called touch assists, to get rid of the pain and get me out of it. And finally, it was just I was delirious. And, well, there wasn't any money for the medical, so it was what it boiled down to. They didn't have the money to take me to the dentist, so they were trying to handle the Scientology. I went to the dentist, and this was in San Pedro, although I don't recall the name of the dentist. The records are certainly still available if it ever came to that. He told me I just made it. It was abscessing, and it was up into my gums and stuff, and if it had been another day or so, I wouldn't be here to talk to you today. You want to know about conditions here in Florida, in your own city? When I first came back from, my last mission to South Africa, when I came back, I was very, very disgruntled with the church's operations. I refused to take a posting because it just was not within my sense of ethics. So I went back to what was my original job, which was manager, and the person that I had trained to replace me when I went off with mission was now the manager for Fort Harrison. His name will probably come back to Nick something. I had been his senior, and I came back and I said, look, I'm fighting this posting until it's handled. I don't want to do anything except do what the policy says, which is I have a right to my old job back when I come off of a mission. But I don't want to take your job, so just put me to work, and if you're willing to fight for me as a staff member, well, I'm not going anywhere. So for several weeks before I managed to get out of Clearwater and go back to Los Angeles on a leave of absence, I set up bunk bed in the Fort Harrison Hotel up to the ceiling and just packed them in like rats.
People.
there were rooms that were smaller than division this area here that had bunks in them five high, and clothes strewn all over, sea bags full of clothes just hammered in. In fact, my wife and I were stuck in a room that was already occupied by somebody because they were out on another assignment for a couple of days, and we had to coexist with all of their things in the room and crowded conditions. We didn't even have a place to hang our clothes. And this was routine. I'm not talking about something that happens once in a while. When I was in charge of operations in Los Angeles, I used to drill the staff members. We very often had people that were sympathetic to the church that would apprise us of inspections that were going to take place. And if that would happen, if we would get a forewarning of it, we had drills set up to pull the bunk beds out, move the dressers out, ship them over to one of the other houses until the inspection was over, and then bring it back and pack them back in again.
That was here in Clearwater?
No. I didn't do the drilling here in Clearwater. But that's part of one of the regular drills that the sea organization has on what is called its watch quarter and station bill, which is a list of jobs. It's naval terminology. They have drills on repelling enemy boarders. And Sea Org members are routinely trained on how to do this. So for instance, security here in the Fort Harrison was apprised that there was going to be an inspection, there'd be more Guardian's office personnel running around than you could think of, making sure that everybody got all the evidence out of sight. It would be swept clean before anybody got there. And then a couple of Guardians Office staff members would be put on the inspector to feed them false data, maybe give them reports of their own about conditions, and just generally distract them from carrying out their duties. And this is not something that is just once in a while. It's a drilled thing. It's a training process that Sealer members went through. Common everyday garden variety training. I think, you know, maybe I'm open right now for anything you want to ask. Although I do have some other things, but I think it'd probably be...
I'll start with a few questions and turn it out to my colleagues. I think you're probably the best one to answer this question that I've asked of two others. Why Clearwater? And why United Churches of Florida? And not Tampa, Brooksville, or Miami? And why not... We're the Scientologists.
Well,
is the climate that right?
Yes, in more than one sense of the word. You're talking when you're talking about setting up a base where L. Ron Hubbard might actually come and exist, you're talking about an area that is very, very heavily evaluated in every sense of the word. Who's in local offices? What have they done? I want you to know that every single person on the city council was very, very thoroughly, their background was very, very thoroughly checked to see if there was any stuff in the woodwork that could be used against you. I happen to know the man that purchased the church grounds here in Clearwater at the time. His name was Ron Strauss. He was a musician on Flag in the Band when he was selected for the mission to come in and do it. Yeah, these evaluations, of course, were done. They're all done in advance. All of this stuff was done in advance. I was personally sent out on a mission with a man by the name of Commander Bob Young by Ron Hubbard to find a base for the Apollo. It was only a rumor, but it was pretty solid to everybody that was on the ship at the time. The Mary Sue had had enough of running around in Ron's rusty old yachts and wanted a nice place where she could, have herself a little chicken farm or something. Didn't, of course, work out that way. But I ran all over the Caribbean with another man looking for locations. We went into the places on a cover story. The cover story was basically that Operation Transport Corporation, which is now and never has been anything else but the Church of Scientology, was going to set up a training center where they could do their business management consulting out of. There was another operation going on at the time called the Universal Media Organization, which was a promotional organization. Television shows, live shows. We did some work for one of the government officials on Aruba, I believe it was. We did a project for them. This is all to lay in a cover so that when the church came in, all of the questions that could be asked and all the investigations that could be done to discourage them from coming in had been done on an organization that really didn't exist anyway except as a facade to waste your time on. By the time you finished running around trying to sort all that stuff in, we were already here, if I remember correctly.
Well, I remember the story in 1975 when you arrived, and I, of course, wasn't in office then, but the story I had that he bought the Fort Harrison for a religious retreat for retired ministers.
Yeah, well, the actual fact of the matter is what we were trying to do at that time, and Bob Young, myself, Bill Lazzaroni, I don't know where he is now, we were the ones that, and Ron's personal secretary or assistant at the time, her name is Liz Osley, we conceived the idea of the media organization in order to get Ron back out into the public. We all felt it was time that he'd get out into the public. The idea was, and I used to read the scripts, we'd write the scripts for what was going to go on and what shooting scenes were going to go on, and they would go through Liz to Ron and or Mary Sue and be approved for the actions. And the idea was to get Ron out here in the community as a religious leader. In fact, I believe he did a couple of radio shows with some local Baptist ministers when they first came in here, and that the whole idea was, of course, to use the opinion leader policy of the church, which is to get a trained Scientologist alongside of someone who's not necessarily the governmental head of an agent, but who he listens to. Who do you go to when you need advice? As a counselor, you have people that you respect their advice. Well, it's a little too obvious to put a trained Scientologist in the mayor's office. But if you can find somebody that the mayor talks to and get a trained Scientologist next to him, boy, you're in good shape. You can just feed anything you want to along that line. And I assure you, that's done every day. I personally brought 60 people up to the governor's campaign in, I think it was 1974. I was asked by the Guardian's office to provide rehabilitation project force personnel to back one of the gubernatorial candidates in California. He lost, by the way, but nonetheless, I had him up there, and I got a commendation for it. I still have it, by the way, for my actions in bringing Scientology into more good favor in the state of California. And they flyers, and they had to give up flyers and brought sublimity. This is the criminal of the Scientology.
Why not something like that? It was clear the right size. They were roughly 100,000 people. Was Tampa too big, or was, and is, say, Brooksville too small, or
politics, sir? The reason we found some beautiful locations for the base in the Netherlands Antilles, and ran smack into a man who was in the Guardian's office at the time. I don't know if he still is. His name was Brian Rubinick. And Brian was always a little paranoid, but he was a Guardian's office personnel, and he was very, very afraid of the political situation in the Caribbean. At the time, as I recall, they were storing a lot of oil over there while we were having a warm winter and didn't need it here. So there was a lot of political things going on in that area to make sure that nobody knew there was more oil and gas around than anybody could possibly have dreamed of. So the political situation in every area that was looked at was very, very closely evaluated. We had a situation here at that time, as I recall, the tourist business wasn't doing all that good. There was plenty of property available at a good price. A lot of people wanted to get some money back for the investments that they made because Clearwater wasn't booming at the time. I believe that they did find some things to attack the mayor's office with at the time, although I was running in and out of Clearwater at the time, so I wasn't directly involved except for people who would tell me things in confidence because they knew that I wouldn't squeal on them if they told me something that they could get in trouble for. I understand a lot of the things that I heard from close personal friends who would have been in an awful lot of trouble had anybody known that they had disclosed what they were doing to me. In terms of the rules of evidence, I think you realize what that means. It's not hearsay.
So you investigated the personalities or the temperaments of the local officials and either appointed or were elected when you came in?
No, the whole area. I understand. A set of mission orders of the magnitude of, in fact, it was an LRH Executive Directive 500 series. I don't remember the last couple of numbers on it, but this was probably a 15 or 20 page set of step-by-step things that had to be done before the Guardian's office would approve the move. All right, so you didn't have the church just willy-nilly walk in here and sit down. All of these things were very carefully evaluated long before they went into Daytona and started getting in trouble there. But as far as I'm concerned, from what I've been able to piece together from the people that I knew that were involved in it, this was just politically a nice place.
Naive town.